I shall come forth as gold, part 2, Job chapter 23, verses 1 to 17. In particular, we would be focusing more on verses 13 to 17. We begin with the thoughts, suffering, verse 1 and 2, supplication, verse 3 to 9. When the man of God suffers, affliction comes, he acknowledges it, and he presents his case to God. Supplication, verse 2 to 9. Sanctification. Job teaches us that God allows affliction for the purpose of purification, that the people of God may be made nigh to him, made more holy, that the dross of sin in their lives may be filtered out in the trials that come in the life of God's people. That's verse 10. And steadfastness, verse 11 and 12. Job affirmed his good testimony. He was not boasting, verse 11 and 12, but he was steadfast, knowing where he stand before God, and therefore there is a quiet confidence that God gave to him in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his afflictions, in the midst of his perplexity and confusion, in the sense that he did not know why all this had befallen him. Then the fifth thought from verse 13 to 17, acknowledging God's sovereignty. And that's the last S, submission. So suffering, supplication, sanctification, steadfastness, submission. You would see these various steps, these various aspects of a saint undergoing a trial, having to grapple with these various steps that goes on in a trial. Job was a man who was righteous in the sight of God. God called him perfect, a man who is not without sin, but a man who lives a life of holiness before God. And therefore, God has a high regard for him. He's a man that is approved of God. What a testimony. May the people of God in this generation perhaps facing the last hour of human history, we, the people of God, may through the difficulties of the last days, the afflictions, the persecution that may come, may do the will of God. And here you see God allow Job to set for us an example. An example that outward circumstances are not infallible proofs to a man's relationship with God. That his relationship with God is real, but it could not be read by the outward circumstance that he was facing, in the sense that his friends equated his afflictions to his fallenness. Was this so? Not so. Rather, he was a man of faith and a man of deep water faith. And the Lord would want us to think and consider here how much this man of God had to go through, to help us to see that when God had gloriously saved us, well, when did the Lord save you? How many years ago? And what is he doing with your life? The people of God who seek to walk with God, ultimately, well, the Lord allows trials to come afflictions to come in our lives. And that's how the people of God learn to hope in Him, learn to find sufficiency in Him, learn to glorify His name and enjoy fellowship and His presence, that indeed with Him we have everything. Without Him, nothing. Eliphaz will make his last and final speech at the beginning of the third cycle, a most vehement rhetoric to destroy the testimony of Job. But how did Job respond? Well, he was unable to find an answer to his affliction. He was not in the know of the conversation between God and Satan in heaven, and therefore he was unable to see what was the mystery of the happenings of providence that causes him to lose almost everything that he has upon earth. Anything that would be counted of any value to an earthling, he has it, and it was taken away from him. What a trial, what a trial. And as we ponder the situation around us, the scene that is in the world today, indeed, for the child of God, we see that indeed it is a time where the believer needs to give an answer to the hope that is in us. The world, the happenings, the fear that is going on, well, as you look at it in the light of God's word, you would find that the people of God, all the more at this time of need, to draw close to God, to draw strength from Him, to draw wisdom from Him, that His Spirit may guide us, His Spirit may console us, strengthen us. Indeed, Paul the Apostle says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." All things work for good. He could not explain the trial that came upon him. Just as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, the Lord spoke to him when he was struggling to make sense of the affliction that came upon him. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Dear friends, it is during the time of affliction that we learn the lesson of dependence, that we learn the lesson of needing to seek God. When we come to our wits' end, when we come to the end of our own wisdom, we come to the end of our own strength. You see the world today facing a great awakening. And I believe it is a great awakening. Over the last day, we have been trying to revisit the book of Ecclesiastes, the words of King Solomon. As he evaluated life, he realized that the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that is under the sun, is so useless. He has tried it. He went all the way because of all the resources that was vested upon him, and he came to the conclusion that all is vanity. And today, you would realize that in the world around us, the people in the world would suddenly realize, what is it that we can hang on to for security? What is the best security that we can have? Is it our bank account? Can our bank account hold us in the time of a crisis? Is it our status and our position? Can it hold us in a time of crisis? Well, we realize how weak we are. Just a little micro organism is able to cause such great weakening to a man's body, and to cause such fear to come in the people around the world. Well, as we realize, as we see all that is happening around us, don't we realize the brevity of life and the frailty of life? How we are so vulnerable. Man stand confident that he has a whole of his life. But here, as we face affliction, as we face calamity, it causes us to be awakened, to see and to be tested upon the foundation of our strength. So for the Apostle Paul, God purposely allow him to face many afflictions, to realize his weakness, so that the strength of God may come upon him. So he says, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Dear friends, do you realize that when you become a child of God, that when you have crucified the flesh upon the cross, and that Christ is dwelling in you, well, that's a great statement of power that God wants to impress upon us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the power of Christ resting in us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ resting in us. Do you know how great and privileged you are to have God so nigh to you, to have God in you? And why is it that the people of God, well, seek to go after the things of the world and to face disappointment because they have strayed from the Lord? But for the Apostle Paul, he sees his affliction as the test of faith and God accomplishing his good will in his life. So Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. In other words, his life is given over, surrendered to the purpose of God in Christ Jesus. And dear friends, all of our lives must be, needs be surrendered to God in Christ Jesus, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. When we are weak, then are we strong. Can we understand this? So Job acknowledged in verse 1 and 2 his afflictions. He was suffering. So he said in verse 2, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. He has felt the full weight of his trial. But he's confident that he has been wronged. his friends has wronged him. Ill has been said of him, which is not true. And so he begin by acknowledging that indeed the affliction has come upon him, and he is feeling the the stroke of the affliction that seemed to grip him so greatly. Dear friends, is there an affliction that God has allowed you to go through that has gripped you? Is it a sickness? Is it a loss of loved ones? A loss of job? A loss that you could not imagine that has come upon you? And you are feeling the loss, and at this time of loss, you are wondering, why does the Lord allow you to go through such great pain? It was in the moments of his testing that it causes him to draw closer to God. Dear friends, if you are faced with a trial and the affliction has come upon you as a man of God, as a child of God, you realize that you are drawn toward him to find consolation, to find strength, to find help. So verse 3 says, "Oh, that I knew that I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Well, he needed God, and therefore he sought for the presence of God, the wisdom of God. Dear friends, where do you find God? May I submit to you that you find God in his word. As we would take time to read the Bible. Now, you know, we are in a time where we are spending hours, for the next month at home. What is it that you would do to take time to consider? Well, I would urge you to take time to read the Word of God. Take time to take hold of good Christian literature, good Christian books, whereby you may be strengthened in the faith, and take time to pray and to examine our lives, so that the Lord, through this wintry time, we said, right, during the time of winter, you are kept at home. Outside is so cold, you can hardly go out. So what do you do at home? Well, there is the joy of staying home. And it is a season of life. And here, Job was going through that season of life where he felt himself so greatly burden of ill health, burden of loss. So mentally, emotionally, he felt so drained. I quote to you last Lord's Day in the pastoral, Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. It says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Indeed, is God a refuge for you? In God is my salvation, the psalmist says, and my glory. In other words, when we draw close to God, the glory of God, the presence of God is with us. You see, Adam and Eve were so happy in the garden before they fell, before they gave in to the temptation of Satan. They live in the presence of God. How wonderful. But after they sinned, what happened? Well, they were banished out of the garden. When Israel came into existence, God led them out of idolatrous Egypt. What did God ask them to do? To build the tabernacle. And what was the purpose? So that the presence of God may dwell with His people. That is the greatest blessing that we have, because He is the one that is our provider, our sustainer. He is the one that is doing all things for us. And the Lord just wants us to know Him and love Him and serve Him. So in the time of his affliction, what did Job do? Well, verse 4 says, I would order my cause before him. He came to God in prayer and filled my mouth with arguments. In other words, he came and he spoke to God. He articulated the grief, the grievances that is in his heart. Did not we learn 2 years ago during our church camp, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You remember that verse? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I would order my cause before him. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Dear friends, when you read the Bible, do you read the Bible with a prayerful heart, with a good focus of the heart and the mind and your whole being to understanding, or is your mind half wandering away most of the time? Where the reading becomes unfruitful, unproductive, because you have not been able to focus in your reading. Because if we have been focused, and when we take time to study and focus on the Lord, you would find that the Lord would give you, send you peace in the heart. Faith in the soul, deep water faith. And so when Job sought the Lord, God's peace came upon him. So he says in verse 10, but I know the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I know the way that I take, or he knoweth the way that I take. God knows what we are going through. Did he not say, there hath not temptation taken you, but such as is common to men? But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But I know the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He trusts in God's leading in his life. God makes no mistakes. Remember the hymn, Rejoice in the Lord? A wonderful hymn. Maybe we can play it and we can sing it together. I think some of you have received the notes together. Rejoice in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan
When trying his servants and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testings comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Indeed, the time of trial, the purpose of affliction is purification, sanctification of the soul, that we may be made holy, to draw closer to God. And as we realize the purpose of God's dealing with us, right, when we face a trial, we examine our hearts. If we have sinned against God, then we confess our sins before Him and seek His forgiveness. And when a trial comes, you realize that it is not because of sin, but God has allowed the affliction to come, to cause you to bear more fruit. In the heat of the furnace, Job says that I shall come forth as gold. Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye loved, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. During the time of trial, there is a sublime joy that God imparts to his people. Peter describes it, that ye greatly rejoice. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. In other words, you experience the dwelling of God, the presence of God with you. How great is that realization that God is with you, that you're going through the trial, but you know that it will be unto praise and honor and His glory. This is the purpose of trial, that we may be sanctified, that we may draw closer to Him. And He tells us that it is during the time of His trial that He was steadfast. Steadfastness, verse 11 and 12, His good testimony affirmed. My foot has held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. During the time of our trial, when we realize that God is allowing us to go through a period, a time of purification, what is it that would keep us going? It is the Word of God. Dear friends, you remember we studied the series, Balm for the Weary, and we studied Psalm 119, Preparations for Hard Times. You remember we studied through all the messages from Psalm 119. We said that the psalmist was always crying throughout the psalm, and yet there was joy in his heart, there was strength in his soul. I urge you to revisit them. Revisit these messages. Revisit this text of Scripture. Why? Because it is during the time of our trial that we need to draw close to God in His Word. So He says, my foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept and not declined. What was the secret of His strength? Verse 12 is the secret. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. You remember we stopped last week at this point. We mentioned about how the Lord fed the 5,000, and how when the Lord stopped the feeding, the people all left Him. Then the 12 disciples were left together with Jesus, and the Lord asked to them, will you also go away? And Peter realized. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's the word rhema, the life-giving, energizing words of God. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us, there is nothing else we need. We don't need our gold. We don't need our silver. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that sustains us. And when we have need, He provides for it. And the Lord wants us to learn that lesson, that if we have Him, we have everything. And therefore, we ended, you know, with a note of how we need to love God and His Word more than our necessary food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is where we would find strength. And we quoted Joshua, and we gave a testimony of the Christian man who lost his job, how his son came running into the room in the midst of his depression, in the height of his depression, and said to him, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And that's when he woke up. That brings us to the fifth point. Submission. Acknowledging God's sovereignty. During the time of our trial, we would be made so weak, so vulnerable, and so perplexed. What do we do during the time of our perplexity? Well, the Lord, through Job, teaches us this lesson of submission. acknowledging God's sovereignty, that He is God, and that He does what He pleases in our lives. And we are to learn submission. God saw, or Job saw, that God is sovereign in all His decisions. He need not consult Job, but by His sovereign grace allowed Job to undergo this great trial of faith. Job realized how he is to bear with it because he cannot help it. Who can he turn from? Who can he turn to? None of his friends is able to comfort him in any way. All his servants have left him. All his children are dead. His wife said to him, "Curse God and die." Verse 13, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. What God seek to do, no man can prevent him. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Many such things are with him. And so Job was able to see, although very vaguely, that God was doing something in his life which he could not explain. He could not understand. And so that's where the Christian learned to submit under the yoke of God's guidance, of God's providence. Well, our Lord Jesus says that my yoke is not heavy. In fact, my burden is light. The Lord wants us to know that when we are surrendered to God, following Him, He takes care of us, and we can trust Him to care for us. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. Therefore am I troubled at His presence when I consider I'm afraid of Him. As you think about how God is so powerful, right? His sovereignty is incontestable, as Matthew Henry would put it, and how His power is irresistible, His counsel immutable. Who can challenge God except that we humbly submit to His leading? None can stay His hand indeed. Whatever the Lord pleases, that did He. And He will always do as He pleases in the counsel of His will. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Well, God is doing something in your life, and the apostle puts it very well in the book of Philippians when he said in Philippians one verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we need to realize that God is with us and for us, and doing His good will, we learn to subsist, and we learn to submit to His will. And God knows what is best. When the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon earth, He had to suffer. And yet, He had suffered, the Lord raised Him from the dead. Did he die? Well, he died. But he conquered death. By his death, he resurrected from the dead. When Abraham was asked to bring on the altar Isaac, the altar of sacrifice, did God provide for himself a scapegoat? Well, there was a goat caught in the thicket, right in the nick of time. God knows what we can bear. And God will not do us harm, but do us good. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. The Lord wants us to know that He is with us, He is for us, and that He will do well. We will do well trusting in Him, continuing to fear Him. Verse 15 at the end says, "When I consider, I'm afraid of Him." Indeed, God is a fearsome judge, but He's also the loving Father. "For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath He covered the darkness from my face." Well, Job is still surviving. His body was so devastated, and yet God would ultimately cure all of his sicknesses when his trial is lifted. God would return him all double what he had lost. "Because I was not cut off before the darkness." He realizes that God, by his sovereign grace, is sustaining him, is keeping him. "Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Dear friends, the providence may seem so dark. The way ahead may seem so bleak. But for the people of God, we must not falter. We need to trust God as we submit under His yoke, under His good hand leading us. Well, He will always do us good, and we can trust Him to lead us to to triumph in His good will, and therefore we may safely learn the lesson that when we go through and be willing to submit and trust the Lord, as Job would say, "I shall come forth as gold." May the Lord strengthen the hearts of His people who may be going through some hard trial, that God may grant you His grace to understand His perfect will and also what to do. Suffering, supplication, sanctification, steadfastness, submission. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in teaching us Thy word. May Thy Spirit bless Thy people and comfort the souls of those who are afflicted. O Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit may come and minister comfort and strength during this time of need. This I pray with much thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.